For our kids this morning. I was just thinking, we were here, and I think it was Isaac jumping up here, and he likes to come up here while we're out back, and we just love hearing him. I just think he's the cutest little thing. Anyway, I just love the fact that we have so many kids. We're all the way up, like kids that are grown, like my kids now, all the way down to little ones, that mothers that are and fathers that are starting out. And we have that wisdom all along the way of parents that have already raised their kids, but could be wisdom for someone that was just starting out, or kids that can minister to other kids, like my kids have done since they've been teenagers. And I'm just so thankful that even they're so familiar when they come in here, they know where their seat is, right? That's my seat, and don't confuse me. And I know I'm speaking of someone in particular out front here, because he always knows where he's on a mission when he comes in, and I just love it. And even their worship, and Ivy dancing and singing, and Hannah raising her hands at the back, and I just love that. That just blesses my heart, because I've been in churches that's not the case. And, you know, that's the beginning of their journey with Christ. And if they know that from an early age, they're more likely to translate that into their adulthood, amen? So, anyway, I know that sometimes there's noisiness up here, but we're always okay with the noise. Don't ever feel like really. Okay, we're ready to go. Okay, this is a new song. I should preface that. This is from Mac Powell's new album, solo album. And this is he's a lead singer of Third Day, which is one of my favorite groups. And this is his new, one of his songs. And I've been listening to this in my car over and over again, this one and another one in particular. So we're going to try it this morning. And it's based from Scripture, and I always love that. So you'll recognize it as you go, and just feel free to sing along as you get it. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, let the name of the Lord be praised. Both now and forevermore, all of heaven and earth proclaim, let the name of the Lord be praised. Come now, all you children, open up your eyes. His presence will abide. Lift your voice to heaven. There's only one to glorify. Jesus Christ. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, let the name of the Lord be. Let the name of the Lord be praised. Come now, all you sinners, lay your burdens down at the feet of Jesus, where mercy can be found. In beautiful surrender, we're singing here on holy ground. How sweet the in our 25 plus years of ministry, you know, as we minister to people, sometimes people come in and they share with us their struggles, their hurts, their frustrations. But a lot of times when I'm looking out at you guys each Sunday, I have no idea what's going on in your lives. And that's fair. You don't need to share that with us necessarily unless you need to. But there's always one there available for you to run to, right? Run to the Father. And this it proclaims this is never ending. It's again and again. And sometimes you feel like you have those weeks where you're going again and again and again. But that mercy never runs out. Amen? That's our God. That's our Father. He wants you to run to him when your heart is broken, when you're frustrated, and you don't understand. So if you guys remember this, feel free to sing it. burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. God's grace and mercy that we can do that, running to him again and again. And I hope that, you know, once again you'll look upon the cross where he died, and I hope you're humbled in his presence for what he chose to do for you and me. Amen. So let's sing this out.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life. Down in that place once again.
Time of worship, I just want to, we've done this one a little while, it's called The Blessing. You know, this is also scripture, and that's what he wants for you, amen? So I want to pray this prayer over you, and maybe there's someone that you can think of that maybe needs this blessing, maybe in this room, or maybe you can think of someone that needs it that's not here. But I want you to proclaim this truth this morning, that God really wants to bless you, and not only you, but your children, and their children, however long we're here for. Amen. So let's sing this out.
Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord, turn his face toward you. Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you, is with you, is with you in the morning, in the evening, and you're coming and you're going and you're weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you. Children and their children, may His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, He is for you.
Welcome to church, guys. I hope that you're excited to be here. I've been so excited about this Sunday for a lot of different reasons. You know, we're bringing this idea of kingdom come to an end. Every time we finish up a series, it gives me some release, and at the same side of it, it has brought me so far. And you know, you sometimes have people will say, Andrew, man, you're preaching right to me. Boy, you're speaking right. No, I'm not. You know what I'm doing? I'm wrestling all these things to the ground, and the Lord is breaking me, and I'm bringing the broken pieces to you. That's what it is. So if you ever wondered, does the preacher, boy, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. I was telling Brian after first service, you know, he stays for the first service, and then Tuesday night, he and his wife come and they enjoy it. He says, at that point, it's worship for me. Like, I get to enter in, and there's no pressure on me. And I said, oh, and he could tell I was just drained. I was wet, and I was drained, and he was going, preaching's tough, isn't it? And I said, yeah, the prep and everything. Like, and even the lasting results. You know what? If God is not working on your heart, you're doing it wrong, right? Are you done? How many people are done growing in Jesus? No. You know, that's why one day you'll be a new creation, right? Because you haven't arrived yet. And when you get there, yeah, everything will be made whole in you. But right now, I hope that you are seeking. And because when we do, we find. I hope that you are allowing His presence to stretch you, to work on your heart. And so we've been talking about the kingdom come. And to recap it, I want you to be reminded that it's a physical place. It's the new Jerusalem. It's coming soon, folks. Again, get that in your head. It's coming soon. There's not time to waste. And the kingdom is also a partnership. It's a waiting partnership. This principle that longs in the present reality to join with you, to let your light so shine before men. I hope that you are partnering with God Almighty. And we've been challenging you to pray for the return of Christ. How many have been doing that? Man, it'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you live. It'll change the things you see. And so be praying for His return. And we've asked you to consider the good news of repentance. Again, church, that word is for you and I. You know that if we see repentance within the walls of the church, it's a beautiful, incredible thing, and we should be embracing that. And you know what? Those who were outside the walls of the church, they'd see it too. They'd see it too. And we don't want you to get lost in the doing, the doing, the doing, the doing, the doing. The doing will wear you out. I want you to be lost in being for the kingdom. I want you to plant kingdom things within you and whatever God is asking you to put down roots in, and then watch it take over your life. And again, don't focus on the weeds. The weeds we've been warned about, the weeds and the hard times, they're going to come. Don't you dare focus on that. Don't you dare let anger and discouragement lead the way. I want you to trust the farmer, and I want you to focus always on the wheat, on the wheat, on the wheat, because white are the fields for the harvest. Amen? Again, so let that light shine within you. And I've been challenged, and I hope that you've been challenged, and I hope that you've been encouraged. And it was interesting, when I was looking at the calendar a couple of weeks ago, I was going, man, Valentine's is coming. Okay, for some of you, that's a big deal. Allison and I, every day is Valentine's Day. That's the way we live our lives, right? Well, she is lucky to have me, right? And we don't get all excited about that day, so to speak, and that sort of thing. So once in a while, we buy each other cards and stuff like that. But we try to do that all year long, in all seriousness, right? Like, you should still always be dating your spouse. Date your spouse. It doesn't matter if you've been married 2 years, if you've been married 44 years. You should be dating one another, right? You should be pursuing one another, that relationship, that depth, because you won't know the end of it. Even in the time that you're granted, even if you have a long, healthy marriage, there's still depths that you will see, because God will take you further. And so I was saying, should we stop the series? This was a couple of weeks ago. I said, I kind of feel like we might not be done, but you know what? This is Love Week, and everybody's going to want some gooey, gross stuff. And I said, that could be good. And you know what? We need to be preaching healthy relationships in the church. Amen? But I was thinking of the greatest love story of all, and I said, Lord, we need to continue on with the coming kingdom, because he's coming for you. He's coming for me. This is the greatest love story ever told, the tale of Beauty and the Beast. And make no mistake, Jesus, he's the hero of the story, and you and I, we're hardly a prize. Does that wonder grip you? The wonder that Emmanuel, God, would come to us. The wonder that he would live a life that we could not live, that he would teach lessons that we would spend a lifetime trying to. His return. The story that he's written for you and I. And you know, I was thinking this Sunday even, like, there's going to be so many people excited about a football game, and I'm one of them, I get it. But church, do we get excited about the coming King? We should. We should. God deserves our attention and our awe. And this whole series has been captivating me, this whole series of this promise of Christ, like John 14, let me read it for you. John 14, verses 2 and 3. My Father's house has many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Think of that promise, that the King is coming. The King is coming. And church, that statement should fill us with an excitement within our heart, because that is the promise that Christ gave to you, and that is the promise that Christ gave to me. And how many of you know that he still keeps his promises today? Amen? Wow, you know what? That amen should be a whole lot bigger. How many of you know that he keeps his promises today? Amen. Amen. You know that he has never failed you? Amen. You know, this promise of his return, it's so certain to me that it's reality, and I hope it's reality to you too. And even to those who would reject it, you know what? Just because you don't believe or you deny that the trumpet will sound, it's not going to stop it. It is going to sound whether they believe or whether they don't. And church, I hope that you are getting excited about that. That when we sing soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. I hope that overwhelms you. because it's the truth in which we live. It's the promise that he gave. And you know what? This whole 2 years, I've had people stopping me in the street, and they say, Andrew, you know what? I got to talk. You think that this is part of the end times, and I almost have to keep from rolling my eyes. Right? And again, I understand, like a lot of people, they don't necessarily know the scriptures. They don't necessarily make a habit of reading or studying the Word of God. And even in the church, I've had a lot of people saying, Andrew, do you really think, I mean, man, Paul was talking about that in his day. Do you think it's really starting to happen? The last 2 years, there should be no question in your mind that God is setting the stage for the final chapter. That the table has been set, that the trumpet itself is being polished and ready to sound. And you know what, again, I've been throwing these back and forth, and I want to share some of these verses with you again today because it's been my last 2 years. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I was throwing that ball back and forth with somebody in the church, and they were saying, you know what, has the gospel really been preached in all of the world? Well, if you know the Billy Graham Association, that was their goal. That, you know what, Billy, before he died in 2016, he said, you know what, or 2018 he died, he said, I want it to be known that the gospel has been preached in every known language that we have. And so they set out on a task before Reverend Graham was called home. And they proclaim that they have translated the Bible into every known language. Praise the Lord. The King is coming. The King is coming. In the last 2 years, this verse came up again. Luke 21, starting to read at verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And at that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And I'll say, people, like they were saying to me again, just these questions, Andrew, there's been earthquakes. You know, there's been wonders that science, you know, they've been trying to explain it for years. Yes, that's true. But you know what? Never before in the history of this planet have we seen the globe moan as it moans today. You think back to even 10 years ago when tsunamis were something that were very rare, when earthquakes were something that they were surprised to study. Well, that day has come and gone, that the earth is active, that volcanoes are exploding, that earthquakes are happening daily, and there's sites that you can go and you can see all of this activity. And if that doesn't testify to the coming of the Lord, I don't know what does. And then I'm watching TV, you know, late at night, and I'm trying to just kind of relax and stop my brain, and you know what, I'm saying, Lord, I just need a break. And all of a sudden on History, the History Channel, they've been doing so many UFO shows that I'm tired. They're saying, you know what, there's so many things that are happening in the world that we can't explain. There's so many things that are happening in the sky. And I'm going, of course there is. It's coming on the Lord. And then I turn it off and go to sleep. You know the King is coming. Church, you know the King is coming. Matthew 24, 6, it says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation. Again, this proclamation that this will happen in the last days, and the latest is the Ukraine. That Russia has surrounded them. The world is warning of sanction after sanction, that the troops across the UN are trying to mobilize and try to get ready for a pending war. And then I was thinking, even as the CBC was doing a terrible job last night, I've given you slanted, terrible news. Let's be honest, CTV2, garbage, right? So tainted, and they were trying to paint some of these freedom convoys as evil, and I was going, wow, it's happening across the world. That capitals and cities in Canada, Australia, France, U.S., and seemingly without end, how can you dismiss the unrest? You know what? The King is coming, folks. The King is coming. Think of Luke 17, verses 26 and 27. As it was in the days of Noah, this is Jesus talking, and I love this example. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and drank and married wives and were given in marriage. And I was looking at this verse again, and I always lean towards this. Again, this is Andrew talking. It's not the Holy Spirit talking through him, okay? Paul was very clear to make sure that he was telling you those things that he knew, right? But this verse, Jesus refers to the rapture in the last days like Noah. Think about the ark and how it rose above the tribulation. And I think, you know what? I get so excited about that because this is this beautiful thing that I'm going, Lord, if the days of tribulation are close, and I do believe they are, that you know what? That the trumpet is going to sound soon and very, very, very soon. That if we rise above the tribulation, and you know what? It makes sense to me. God is not trying to rip eternity from you. He's not trying to trick you. You know, he cost him too much to bring salvation to mankind. And God is looking to love us right into the kingdom. You know, the king is coming. Church, never before have we seen such change. You know, if you told me the last 2 years would happen, I would have called you a liar because I wouldn't have thought it could happen in 2 years, let alone think about this. The world shut down in 1 month. 1 month, a virus brought so much fear that the world shut down. And people are scared. Do you want to do something fun this week? Pay for something with cash. Oh, it's fun. Lick the bill before you... No, don't do that. That's terrible. Okay, you know how my brain works. Sometimes I think that stuff's funny, right? Just wipe your nose a little bit and then pass them the 20. No, don't do that. Don't do that. But pass a bill and you're going to see how uncomfortable people still are. And you know what? It's all setting up. Why? Because we don't want to pass a virus. Why don't we just get chips? Why don't we just go to a cryptic currency because then the virus can't pass? And you know what? You should do that for the safety of your neighbor. It's amazing to me. The first time in Super Bowl history, they're going to have a commercial about cryptocurrency. And the reason I know that is because Tom Brady's going to star in it. And I was going, this is amazing to me. How can people not see what is happening in the world in the crazy upside down place in which we live? I was thinking of Joe Rogan, right? His podcast, and the people have been after him because of anti-vax. Well, you're giving out false information, and the whole world wanted to cancel Joe Rogan, which I thought was funny. Meanwhile, we have a world event happening in China when China has the human rights violations history that it has and genocide within its own country, and we're there celebrating the world, and everybody's worried about Joe Rogan. What an upside-down place in which we live. The world is shut down, and it only took them a month. It only took them a month to cooperate, even though they're angry with one another. And I said, never in the history of the world have we seen something like this. Are you missing the signs? You know what, church? The king is coming. The king is coming. This is what I want to do. Whew. Now, some of you aren't creative people, and I get that. You know that I'm an artsy-fartsy kind of guy. Not necessarily always proud of that, but that's okay. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to come with me on a journey. I want you to paint a picture in your mind's eye. Right? It's easier to do it when your eyes are closed because then you're not distracted by your neighbor or somebody who might be eating a little cereal bar because it's getting close to lunch. You might get hungry. So just close your eyes. Revelation 19. I want to read this for you. I want you to wrestle this image to the ground. This is an image that John had on the island of Patmos when he was waiting to die, when he was reminded of the promise of the king. Revelation 19, think about this, picture this with me. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dripped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword for which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with the iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you see it? Can you imagine with me, church, that the clouds are splitting? That the clouds are are splitting, and there's this great white steed with the King of Kings coming on it, and there's like a trail of fire behind him as he enters the atmosphere that he is burning like a comet, and we see that rider, and he is faithful and true. Can you see it? He comes to wage war, right? The final end game is his goal, that death will die and the enemies that have harmed so many will be trampled under his foot. That there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sickness. His eyes are aflame with focus. And make no mistake, there's a reason for the many crowns. For every dictator, for every leader, for every government will recognize that this truly is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and nobody's going to argue his lordship. And written on him in cryptic things, nobody knows what it means, but he himself is a name. What does that mean? What do you envision? I always tell my mother-in-law it's a tattoo because that makes her uncomfortable. Again, you know how my brain works, right? Like, there's a name written on him. What does that mean? But only he himself knows it. And when will he reveal it? That he's dressed in a robe. Picture this. Dripped in blood. Dripped in blood. Imagine that. The King of War coming to end all evil. Nothing, nothing, nothing is going to stand in his way. And the armies of heaven, they follow him. Ooh. The armies of heaven fill the sky as wide as the sky can be. And they are coming and they are dressed in beautiful white linen on beautiful steeds. Imagine the wonder and the beauty of it all. Coming out of his mouth, think about this, is a sword. A sword which will strike down nations. Can you see it? Again, this second title on his robe and on his thigh. What is that on his thigh? Again, I tell my mother-in-law, man, Jesus is tatted all over the place. The King is coming. The King is coming, and nothing is going to stand in his way. And all the wrong will be made right, and all pain and sorrow will fall at his feet, and death will finally know its end, because the King is coming, guys. The King is coming. Look up. Seriously, look up. Does that excite you? Does that excite you? That should excite you. Church, that should excite you. And think about this, that after that great battle, there'll be the 1,000-year reign. When God heals the earth, that you know what? That there'll be water that we've never ever tasted, because the purest water in the world is not pure. We'll get to understand what the Garden of Eden was all about, when there would be unity between man and beast, when the air that we breathe, oh, it would be pure. We'd understand the blessings and the glory of that moment in that 1,000-year reign, and then after that, the judgment of Satan. When he's thrown into the everlasting fiery tomb and he experiences the freedom from God that he has so long demanded, and the presence of the King will no longer reach him, he'll be separated from the one, and then the judgment of the dead, the old covenant saints, those who have awaited the great white throne judgment, that tale of their victory, think of that, think of the stories. Their tales will be on display for all to see. You know what? The anticipation will build and build and build for the party to come, and then the new Jerusalem will appear, and the banquet will be ready, and the eternal praise party will begin around the glassy sea that surrounds the throne of the King, and the rest of the universe, which is still expanding today, will be open to you and I. Wonders and joys that you cannot imagine, says the Word. The King is coming. King is coming. That should excite you. The wedding that awaits soon and very soon, there should be rejoicing in your heart and your soul. It should change the way you live. And church, I want you to know that the King of Kings chose you for this chapter. And you know what? That should overwhelm you, and you should feel ill-equipped. But make no mistake, he doesn't make mistakes. He chose you to usher this in. You've got to be kidding me. Everybody bow your heads. I'm not long today. Can you envision it? Ooh. Are you overwhelmed? Are you excited today? The King is coming. The King is coming, and you are on his mind. All this and more he has done so that you could be united with him. Think of his love. Think of his grace. And soon, and very soon, the King is coming, and his promises will be fulfilled, and all of the darkness will flee his presence. Are you excited, church? Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this great plan that includes us, that you would promise to return. And King Jesus, we are getting excited. We're getting excited to see the clouds split. Lord, it's very clear to us that this place is not our home. And Lord, I'm excited about the 1,000-year reign. I'm excited to see what the Garden of Eden was really supposed to be like. But Lord, I get pumped when I think about the New Jerusalem coming to be the place, to be the staging ground for all of eternity. Father God, I can't fathom the joys that lay within. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Oh, we await you. We await you. This glorious return of our King. God, I pray that the bride would be excited of the coming wedding. Fill us with awe, fill us with wonder. May we shine so bright that everything would point to you. Oh, Father God, return. Let the King come. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. I hope that that excites you. I pray that today you would be lost in all of his glory and that you would understand that soon and very soon, we are going to see the King, and I pray that that would excite you, that would inspire you, that would ignite you in a way that you've never been ignited before. Oh, let him come. Amen. God bless you. Let him go before you this week.